Good morning. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now, I was sure God wanted me to preach this. I haven't been able to preach it for over 5 years, and I felt like I can't let another generation of students not hear this. But I struggle because after Emily's testimony, I felt strangely drawn to preach out of the Song of Solomon, but I want you to know I felt that probably that wasn't the wisest thing to do. But congratulations. I'm glad I made it today. I'm very frustrated. In fact, I think after class, I'm, with Brother Hankey's assistance, going to call for an investigation. I believe the mayor of Lattimore closed down one of the roads coming in, and traffic was backed up for miles. And I want to get to the bottom of this. You know, the problem with a lot of students, they don't watch any news anymore. So I had a great day yesterday, and I have to tell you that down at Concord Baptist Church, and some of the students in my classes know, and I hope you've been praying, there's a couple that have come. The second Sunday was yesterday. We call it pre-candidating, just trying to bond with the church family. And I had not met this man before. He preached last week, and I stayed away to let them bond. But honestly, one of the greatest salvation messages I've ever heard in my life. This man preached. My heart was so stirred. And then come Sunday night, He preached a message that really convicted my heart about serving and used Paul. And what a blessing it was. It was a joy to be there. And, you know, I know sometimes Daniel mentioned in his testimony Christianity fizzling. I hope that's not the perspective that older faculty are giving you, because the truth is Christianity will do just fine because Jesus made us a promise. But I do think there's changes going on, and they're not always bad. From our perspective, they seem bad. But I think God's doing a great thing, and God's raising up younger people, Brother Dylan. He is, that trust the Word of God and want to be filled with the Spirit. And I got to tell you, yesterday was a real shot in my arm. And another one of our graduates helping me in a little broken-up church down in South Carolina that at one time was one of the best-known churches in the Carolinas. Ran, you know, I've heard upwards of 900 and have 300 Christian school. There are 8 adults in the room. The auditorium is bigger than this auditorium. But our graduate, I talked to him last night on the way home, and he said, Brother Spencer, God's getting a hold of these people's hearts. And he said, it occurred to me, you know, instead of looking at it as a church that's about to die, let's look at it as maybe someone needs to come in and just replant the church. Got a building. A lot of faithful people paid for that. But, you know, I got to tell you something. You need to be encouraged as younger people. God's not even begun to be done. And the same Holy Spirit power and the same promises, they're for your generation. I sat in Bible college, and I remember hearing folks in the 60s, 70s, you know, the older men would warn. They'd been through some real battles, and they'd warn and say, you know, the 70s was a big prophecy decade. Boy, everybody. Dr. Comfort preached prophecy. That's one of the things he was known for. All the evangelists. And I remember sitting there as a Bible college student thinking, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to get married. Jesus is coming back. America's a mess. Sounds like a broken record, doesn't it? But you know what I've witnessed now after being in the ministry and asking God to help me? God's in charge. You guys have the best days of Christianity ahead of you. And what I want to share with you this morning, I've preached before, and Brother Surrett asked me, and he said, are you preaching on David and Goliath? I said, yeah. But I told him, I didn't bring all my props. My wife talked me out of bringing the slingshot, by the way, and demonstrating how it worked. That probably would be dangerous. I only brought one prop. But you know, David, and I love David, and Brother Young last week mentioned some things about David, and I really enjoyed that. But there's something about David I want to remind my brothers and sisters that is so important for us today, especially in these days. And so in 1 Samuel 16, we'll look at just pieces of verses as we tell the story. I want you to understand something about David, who is such a great testimony to us. But I think if you go back to the beginning, the very first time David's mentioned, there's some things about that young man that were true when he was a young man that I believe made him a great man in his ministry. We all know he was a sinner. He sinned terribly, if I can say it this way, at 50 years of age. He would later, before at the end of his life, sin again. So great a sin when he numbered the mighty men. But none of us would ever look at David's life and say he was a failure. David was the man at the end that I believe you find here at the beginning. And it's always encouraged me as a guy that's, you know, been to Bible college and I've been, you know, in the ministry and I've been able to teach young people, I like telling these stories because I need to be reminded about who David really was and how he started out. And so I want you to see three simple points this morning. Number one, I want you to see David as an obedient son. Before you ever get to the giant killing, which is what most people think, wow, David, you do remember he was probably what we call a teenager. They didn't call them teenagers in that day. They were called young men. But he would be about a teenager's age. And I know we love to talk about David and Goliath. One of my favorite Bible stories, probably one of the first ones I remember. Jonah and David and Goliath were my favorite Bible stories as a little boy. But it's easy to just look at them as Bible stories and not understand why God took so much trouble to tell you a lot about that young David. And I notice before you get to the killing of Goliath, which is how we're going to end this morning, you got to understand something about David. And we see in 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." There's so many words in God's word that stand out. Every time you go back and read them, I notice for the first time, for some reason, God says, "For I have provided me." Okay, the people got what they wanted, and I'm rejecting Saul. Now I'm going to get myself a king. Very interesting. Well, the Bible goes on to tell the story how Samuel very obediently went to the house of Jesse, and he asked Jesse to bring all his sons. And it says in verse 6, "And it came to pass when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, the oldest, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Verse 10, "And again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse," and you got to understand Samuel, he's probably one at a time thinking, well, it's this one, it's this one. And everybody's gone now. He's been through all the sons, and he says, you wonder what Samuel thought. Now, Lord, am I at the right family, the right place? And he says to Jesse, "Is this all the children you have?" And he said, "Well, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold," and I underlined in my Bible, "he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with all a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, Father, as we look very briefly this morning at a very, very important story that you preserved for centuries, Lord, help us not to miss these just very simple points. We're all living these struggles. Help us to learn that, Father, you'll never use us, certainly never help us conquer the Goliaths in our life, until we're obedient, until we're humble. Speak, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, David here is the king. He's not going to become the king, class. I do that at these churches. And they giggle at me, and I say, "Oh, wait a minute, that's right, I'm not in class." But you do see, he is the king. He's not going to be the king. God says he is the king. But we see his obedience because it says in verse 14 that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit troubled him. And Saul said in verse 17 unto his servants, "Provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me." Again, just a little side note. Hey, what about the power of music? It's not our moral class. You do understand, brethren. And we've been taught well. Music is very powerful. Even this ancient time, Saul, who was, I don't have any record of being a musician, he understood and said, "I got to have some music right now." Well, you know the story. They talk about David, and it's interesting when this person, unnamed person, servant says, "Well, I know a young man, and he's really good at playing music." And verse 19 says, "Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep." Hey, this is the king. Saul doesn't know it yet. I think what I want to share with you quickly this morning, younger brethren, because all the older faculty and staff, we know this. Now, we struggle with it, but we know it's true. God will never use you You can't learn to be obedient later. You must be obedient now. It's not now. By the way, you look at the men on the platform, you look at this teacher preaching, and you think, well, one day I'll be obedient like you older staff faculty. Look, we're still struggling with obedience, but maybe we've learned it's very critical because we've already had some Goliaths, and we're probably going to be facing some more Goliaths, but God has taught me very clearly, especially when I went into Bible college, because we had rules. We had lots of rules. In fact, I say, you may not believe me, and I don't know if it's this way today, but my Bible college had more rules than this school, especially when it came to dating. Mrs. Dillon, who was Karen Cunningham, she went to school. She'll tell you, we had rules, lots of rules. And you know, God had to teach me as a Bible college student. I really wasn't trying to be rebellious, but I worked 11 at night to 7 in the morning. And anybody that works that shift, you're going to run into some of the rules. You don't mean to. You know the one I'd get in trouble all the time? Signing in or signing out. I literally would get off work and literally have seconds to get to class. And the last thing on my mind was signing in, signing out. Sure enough, within 24 hours, there was a notice, you know. And I had to learn. God had to teach me, son, you just need to learn to be obedient. You may not agree with all the rules. You may not even understand all the rules, but I'm trying to get you to a place one day when you've got to obey me. Well, I know you guys are going through the same thing. David learned this rule. You know, when he was made the king, it's interesting. The Bible goes on to say in that chapter, the last verse of chapter 16, it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took a harp, played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. But here's the verse that I love. Over in chapter 17, look at verse 15, because period of time's going on. But verse 15 says, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. The understanding of this verse is this. David would go back and forth and back and forth. We don't know how long, days, weeks, before the Goliath incident takes place. David just very obediently went back. He's the king! But he'd go back and forth. He'd make sure after he was done helping Saul, he'd go back to the sheep. If you don't see obedience in David's life, you're missing maybe something you're missing in your life. You have to obey. Jesus said something in Matthew 25:21 in teaching his disciples. He talks about one day standing in the presence of God. And he said, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Now you would think God would say, you know, you were busy. And boy, you were faithful over so many things. I will make thee ruler now over tremendous things. No, Jesus says one day, we need to hear this from God. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee the ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. It's the few things that trouble me. It's the few things that, I'll be honest with you, 32 years now in the ministry, which I'm telling you right now is a miracle. It's the little things that sometimes we get a little sloppy with, right, older staff and faculty? It's, you know, you do it so long you forget about the few things, the important things. I've watched people I went to school with, Mrs. Dillon went to school with, now after all these years, people that were more talented, and you've heard older people say, it's true, they were the ones that just seemed like they were going to skyrocket to greatness in the ministry, and they're not even married. They're not even going to church. Of course, in the ministry, in local church ministry, you watch God's people. Sometimes they get a little sloppy with obeying the little things. Their family, church attendance, prayer, witnessing, giving. Listen, you know the drill. David learned as a little boy, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to stay obedient. He didn't get to stand before Goliath one day and say, hey, God picked the right one. I'm the king. He never even mentions that, as you'll see. David just learned as a little boy, and now as a young man, I must be obedient. I always wonder, I never did get to join the military. I wanted to. My dad was a career military man. But as I got older, I was kind of more fascinated with the Marines than I was the Navy. Dad was Navy. But he worked on a base where the Marines did all the security. He was an MP. But my dad just really admired the Marines, and he broke up not few bar fights between Marines and sailors, and it was always the end was always inevitable. It was the same thing, Marines standing, sailors on the floor. And my dad would say to me, he said, you know what I've noticed? He said, we go into this fight, and we're cleaning up the military, because you, my dad said, we always tried to get there before the city police, because city police were not nice to military guys, and they would try to charge them with more. So my dad, the military police, always would try to get there as quick as they could. He said, I noticed that when I go to these fights, he said, the Marines, and there'd be sailors on, slumped over chairs, broken tables on the floor, laying on the bars. He said, the Marines would be sitting there, and we'd walk up, and we'd say, all right, you come with me. Yes, sir. Bloody noses, tooth knocked out, Marines. Yes, sir. They'd have to pick, screaming, kicking, cursing, swinging those sailors up. And he said, my dad said, I always marveled at the respect that the Marines would have for us MPs. Well, I heard that as a young boy, and I always admired. But you know the thing I've learned about the Marines? If there's one thing they teach you, I say teach, I don't even know if that's a polite word, the one thing they beat into you, it's obedience. 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 It's almost a mindless, integrated obedience, because as they know, when those men are in the darkness of those insane moments of killing and being killed, the only thing that saves them is obedience, the training. You know, we Christians, we know Paul wrote to us and said that the warfare we're really fighting, at least God's trying to tell us about, is a supernatural warfare. But you know, we can go many days struggling with flesh, being discouraged over a flat tire. I heard that preacher yesterday, that young pastor, say he was preaching about Paul's talking about the grace that God had given him to serve, and how he said, I have this unspeakable gift of grace to serve God. And you know, he said something, and I wrote it in my Bible. He said, what we call hard and what we call a burden, Paul said it was the unsearchable riches of God's grace. Man, I instantly felt convicted. That word unsearchable means it hasn't been traced yet. No one has found the depth or the width. And I'm sitting there going, man, how easy. How easy. I can get discouraged because, you know, I had a flat tire, or maybe I'm not feeling well. Boy, I felt convicted. You know, the Word of God, it's such a powerful book. I remember sitting there listening to the messages, and I thought, it's sad that I guess a lot of schools don't have this kind of preaching. They don't want this kind of preaching. But how would I even know to obey God if I didn't hear this kind of preaching? David was an obedient man. And by the way, even after he sinned, you read what he says about himself. He wanted to go back to being the humble, obedient servant. So number one, we see him as an obedient son. You have to see that before we get to the end of the message and talk about how he killed the giant. Number two, as we continue in chapter 16, we see the humble servant. I already pointed out in verse 23 that he would come whenever Saul would call for him. He'd come. He'd leave the sheep. Now you're talking about the king of Israel. God said he's the king of Israel. Samuel knows. His brothers know. But because he just continued to humbly come before Saul, I think people forgot. The anointed king of Israel went back and forth to minister over and over and over again. 1 Peter 5:6 says, brethren, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You know, the faculty, when we talk to you, we hear your testimonies, we see you in the class, and we talk to you on the side. You don't realize this, but when we hear some things happening to you, and you're at that place in your life where you're a little bit upset, or you're just saying, I don't understand. And we see some negative things impact you. You know what we're thinking a lot? Just going to have to get through it, because I went through the same thing. God has a way of humbling us. Oh, my word, in the most unusual ways. I've said it. I know Pastor Camp says it. We all have different ways of telling you this. Have not we said this to you guys? The best lessons you're ever taught at Ambassador are not in the classroom. To be honest with you, the best messages you ever hear are in the chapel, but the best lessons you learn are outside this campus. They're in the dorm room. They're the struggles you're having at work. The struggles you have, I had them laying in bed wondering, am I going to make this? Am I going to be able to pay my bill? Lord, are you sure you want to use me? You know, I could. The problem with all that, even when we try to couch it in humility, is we're proud. We're proud. David understood he had to be obedient, but I also believe David understood humility. There's probably few men in the Old Testament that teach us that lesson. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Notice he didn't say be humble. He said, humble yourself. It's a 24-hour-a-day process. And we just can't do it, brethren. We need the Spirit of God and the Word of God. We need God. We need to obey God. And God said, oh, humble yourself. The word humble or humble, as I've learned some Southern people pronounce it, it's a very common pronunciation. I hear it all the time in South Carolina, Tennessee. It literally means to be made low to the ground. Now notice God says we need to learn to make ourselves low to the ground. Because you know what our flesh is always trying to do, lift us up. That is a 24, well, let's put it this way. It's not, I don't know if think I could say it's 24 hours a day because I don't really think those thoughts when I'm asleep. But every conscious moment, my flesh is trying to lift me up. My flesh is trying to say, cut in line. You're better than that person. And God's saying, no, Joel, every day, make yourself low to the ground. Let God lift you up. Let God exalt you. David got that crystal clear. When we see that, it's our pride. We heard a lot about that last week. Oh my, from Brother Young and Dr. Comfort. So very quickly, we've seen the obedient son. Some of you are really struggling with it. Well, I'm going to tell you, keep struggling, but learn to obey. Learn to obey your parents. Learn to obey your RAs and the deans and the faculty. One day you're going to be in authority. And by the way, what goes around comes around. God broke my heart, not my first year at Maranatha, not maybe my second year, but I finally realized if I'm going to be in the ministry, God's got to find me that I know what it's like to be obedient. And God, you've got to help my wicked, proud heart, and I need to be humbled. By the way, don't ever ask God to humble you. He told you to do that. Because if he does it, it's going to be rough. I remember Frank Camp used to say, and I quote it all the time, you can humble yourself or let God humiliate you. I'd like to do the former with God's help. But I want to rush to the end of the story. Yeah, David and Goliath. Now, look at chapter 17. It says, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together, Succoth, which belonged to Judah. Now, the Bible says that verse 3, the Philistines stood on one side of the valley and Israel stood on the other. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, we know that it was very common in this day for armies sometimes they would gather and for days they'd sit and play war drums and shout and try to intimidate. But at the end of the day, they'd send their champion to fight the other army's champion. And whoever won, that settled the dispute. That's exactly what takes place in the story of David and Goliath. But I want you to notice David just being an obedient, humble servant. He's told by his dad, all right, son, take these foodstuffs. I want you to go to your brothers. They're all in their armor. They're all part of the army facing the Philistines and feed them. Well, David does as he's told in verse 28. The Bible tells us that he started listening. Actually, if you go back, I don't want to read all the verses, but verse 23, it says he talked with them. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, day after day. David shows up one day, and he hears Goliath say the same thing that he'd been saying for days. And look at this. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will make him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, well, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? I just saw this the other day as I was this hit me. The men, they're so chicken, but they said, boy, somebody needs to whoop that guy. Someone needs to kill him. Wow, are they going to be well taken care of? You know what David says? Forget about what you get out of it. Who's going to kill this guy? Watch again. It happens again. It says, and the people, verse 27, answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Again, David doesn't care about what the person that kills Goliath gets. He wants to know who's going to kill this man. Folks, you're going to face Goliath. Your Goliaths are kind of midgets right now. Now, I'm just telling you, as an older brother in Christ, they seem big and they seem hairy and mean, and but you'll look back and you'll say, those were midgets compared to what I'm looking at now. But I'm telling you, if you can learn the lessons from David's young life, that you must learn to be an obedient son. You must learn then, and by the way, you can't humble yourself if you're not going to be obedient. You can't do it. And you learn to be a humble servant in all of your serving. You're serving your teachers by doing the work we tell you. You're serving at the job that you're at. You're serving in your room and in your dorm. You're learning to minister. You have to do it humbly because that Goliath's coming. You say, oh, I've already faced the Goliath. Well, I got to tell you, it's a midget compared to what you're going to face. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying they'll get bigger and hairier and meaner. But if you've been an obedient son and a humble servant, God will then let you be a trusting soldier. There are times, and the faculty and the staff that have been in ministry, they'll tell you, Goliaths always show up at the most inappropriate time. And that's part of the strategy of Satan. That's part. If everybody that's been in the ministry knew Goliath was coming, he sent you a, you know, like the young people do, they send these cards out, save the date, we're getting married. If Goliath, you know, if the Goliath of our life would said, save the date, I'm coming. And I'm going for you. I'm going to take your marriage. I'm going to destroy your children. I'm going to take your health away. You know, I almost think I'll be ready. That's not how Satan works. That's not how the Goliaths that just seem to get bigger and bigger, that's not how they come. Right now, you're building your character to face. No matter how old you get, you still need to be obedient. You still need to be humble. But I want you to see how he trusted God. When he went before his brothers, his oldest brother speaks first. That's what older brothers do. I was the oldest brother. We're the first ones to speak. And so Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Again, Eliab's eyes were on men. He was scared to death. And in his fear, he attacks his youngest brother. And he said, well, you need to go back to the sheep. You can't help this situation. And David said, now, wait a minute. Eliab, you're focusing on me. It's a cause I'm talking about. David goes on, and the Bible says that he turned, verse 30, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered again after the former manner. You know what? He had no help. There was contradiction everywhere he turned. One of the things you find, young people, and it should already have started, is the contradiction of others. There will always be plenty of people to tell you can't do what God wants you to do. Always. And then after you get out, you get a degree and you're out serving the Lord, you would think, well, I'm glad that's behind me. Just wait. Some of your best friends, some of your most faithful people, at times, because of their fear, they may try to contradict what God's called you to do. But I love what happened to David. David didn't run. He didn't cry. He didn't feel bad for himself. He even went to Saul. Now, Saul and he had a very special relationship. But verse 33 says, and Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And even Saul discourages him. You know, the faculty, you might find staff, you may find upperclassmen can discourage you at times. And you'll not be able to stay fixed on God's will. If you've not learned how to be obedient in the little things of your life, we get on you guys all the time, but you know what? Getting up on time or getting up a little earlier, that's a characteristic you better learn now. Learning to read your Bible, learning to pray and witness. You better get those things. Those are obedient things, by the way. And you better learn to be humble. And God sees here on this campus interesting ways to humble all of us, including me. Got to stay humble. Goliath's coming. Are you going to really trust God enough to take on this monster? And I'm going to show you in closing. But I want you to see not only the contradiction David faced, but the contemplation of David's heart. David talks about his previous years. David said in Saul, verse 34, I know you don't think I can do this, But thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came out a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Now, before you think this young punk is pompous, this young guy, whoa, he thinks he's dead meat. Look what he says. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. As you begin to grow and as God begins to gently nudge you into leadership and ministry, oh, you'll be afraid. But if you're obedient and you're humble, you will be like David and said, you know, God did show me some things, and I saw some great things done while I was in Bible college. I saw some great things done when I was trying to help this church on the weekends and on Wednesday. I saw God do these things. And now, God's going to deliver me again. It wasn't him taking credit for what he was about to do. He said, in fact, he said it this way. Well, there was a lion and a bear, and none of us have ever done those things. But he said, that was nothing compared to this. All right, God, you're going to do it again. So we see his courage. Now, before we get into what David did, you all know it, I do want to talk a little about Goliath. There's a pun there. You can get it later. If you look at chapter 17, it tells us about this man. He just wasn't normal. I mean, let's go back to verse 4. There came out a champion. The Bible says he was 6 cubits in a span. He had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. You know what that means now. He wasn't bivocational delivering letters. He had the chain link covering, okay? And the weight of that was 5,000 shekels of brass. Just the chain mail coat he had on was 150 pounds. That's just his outer coat, his bulletproof vest, let's say. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target or a javelin of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. And his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, 15 pounds. Now, I knew I didn't have time or want to take time, but I used to bring 15 pounds of weights, one on another, and I used to tape it, and I used to hand it to you guys, and I'd say, here, fill this. This was just the tip of his spear. He's going to put this through your body. The spear, none of the men in here could really handle it. It was a beam. This guy, from the time he was David's age and probably younger, was taught to kill people, and who knows how many people he ripped with his bare hands and slaughtered. Well, he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to set your battle array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. Well, that man ended up being David. Now quickly, I want you to go with me to the battle. Verse 38, Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail, and David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off, and he took his staff in his hand, chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a script, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, you know how tiny David was to Goliath? Goliath is such a giant of a man, he had to literally spot little David. Now, there's a distance. I've not been there. Brother Beal, actually, when he went to Israel a couple years ago, went to that valley. I think that'd be awesome. Now, I have seen it on video. Someone tried to video it and show how it's not gigantic, but it's a pretty good sized valley. And there's a hill on one side and there's a hill on the other. Brother Bill said you could just see the Philistines up there by the thousands and the army of Israel up over here. And he said you can still see the valley, and where there was, you can make out during the rainy season, there's a little stream there. People take away little stones, I'm told. And so at night, the Israeli government trucks in, literally dump stones. Right, Brother Dylan? That's what I was told. They dumped stones there because so many people have taken little rocks home. I'd love to go. I'd love to see it. Here's a little man. And Jewish men were not big men. They really weren't. They averaged somewhere around 5'2 to 5'3. That was the normal height of a Jewish man. David's not a grown man yet. He's not a big man. The Bible says that Goliath spotted him. Watch this. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David and the man that bare the shield. And when the Philistine saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves or sticks? You know what he just called David? You're a stick. Is this what you guys do? Throw me a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, and the Philistine came to David. Can you hear the voice? This guy's voice must have been terrible. He says, come to me. Come here, little boy. And I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Come here. Come here, stick. I'm going to rip you in pieces, and I'm going to throw your head up and let the birds and... Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword. Now, you know his voice had to be several octaves higher. Sure. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. By the way, David noticed all the technology there. He goes, yeah, I see it. Man, is that a Glock? But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. And this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And it came to pass, verse 48, when the Philistine arose. By the way, apparently he just sat. He's a big man. He's got hundreds of pounds of metal. He just kind of sits down and listens to David. Well, apparently young David, he pushed the wrong button. That old giant just lumbers up, what? And came and drew nigh to meet David. That David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. That makes no sense. That makes no sense to me. I mean, David, why didn't you just stand still and as he came, pop him in? The Bible says that David was at such this point. Folks, he had learned to obey his father and his heavenly father. He had been such a humble servant that I think somehow God, you know, Brother Young talked about how God would pop Goliath in the back. I wonder if God's angel said, go, David. And David said, what? Go. And David ran right for that giant. I don't know what his brothers must have thought, but there had to, I mean, they picked on him and they talked down to him, but I think they had to go, oh, mom's going to miss him. You know, he was a little runt, and, you know, he was such a little brat, but, you know, he wasn't a bad kid, and bye, David! You hear seven brothers. Bye! Oh, this is, I don't want to look. Well, as he's running, put his hand in his bag and took a stone, slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. That the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell down, his face to the earth. The Bible goes on to say, took Goliath's sword and cut off his head and drags that head back. Look at verse 58. And Saul, he takes the head back to Saul. You would do that when you were a military person. You would often take back something from the slaughter person, even their head, back to the sovereign and say, your will has been done. He's dragging this head around, and it had to be, I guess he took the helmet off. Man, it would have been heavy. But he drags it back to Saul, and look what Saul said to him. Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. David's still humble. You know what I would have said? The same thing you would have said. All right. Are you listening to me? Me? I'm the king. David said, I'm just the son of one of your servants. Now, before I show you some things, I want to tell you, I love to read David. If you read David all the way through the Psalms and all the way toward the end of his life, David never lost a sense of humility. Even after he sinned and he'd apologize to God for his pride and his, say, Lord, humble me. Restore the joy of my soul. He always maintained that heart that God appreciated, so much so that God would say, he's a man after my own heart. I'm telling you, you can get to be Brother Spencer's age, and I'm still one of the young bucks, but you can get to be my age. And if you don't learn to constantly obey, constantly humble yourself, oh, there'll come a Goliath that you won't beat. There's many of my friends who I love very much, and many of the faculty, you know, we could bore you with some pretty great men and women who stopped obeying, stopped being humble. Now, let me show you how big this boy was. Now, remember, folks, this man was a trained killer. And so I'm going to ask Brandon to help. Brandon, come up. One year I brought Brother Dallas. I had Brother Dallas walk into these side doors. And and believe me, it was quite impressive how tiny Brother Dallas is. But Brandon, you come up. Now, I want you to face them. Don't face me. Stand here and face them. Stand right here. Face them. Oh, no, right up here. Move up a little bit. He's so big, I got to move up. David would have been probably a small-sized young man. 150 pounds? He didn't even weigh 150 pounds. Now, there's a giant coming to kill him. But because David had learned to obey, even that day he stood there, God's Spirit, I believe, said, go. And David said, well, it'll be the Lord that does it, because I can't. David had humbled himself. And so I wanted to show you this prop. It's getting old, but I did have to put a new picture on it. And I'm thankful for, I don't know Facebook, but I did ask the students one day if they could find me a picture that would look like Goliath. And they told me, I don't know this, they said they're on Facebook. Someone posted a picture, Brother Kahiwat, first thing in the morning. So that's the picture I decided to use. I guess it works. But I'm going to put this on my head. When I put this on my head, this is how tall, within maybe an inch, this is how tall Goliath was. Now, you're not supposed to look. All right? Now, Brandon, take two steps forward and turn around. We're talking about 750 to 800 pound killer. A little Jewish young man, not 150 pounds. Yeah, this is, you have to use your imagination, okay? That's a big man, isn't it? But you know what I've learned? And I'm only sharing my heart with you guys. Thank you, Brandon. There have been some pretty bad Goliaths in my wife and I's life and our ministry. And there's probably going to be some more. But God's a whole lot more powerful than any Goliath and all the Goliaths that have ever walked the face of the earth. And listen, don't you worry about Christianity. It belonged to God long before there was a Joel Spencer and long before there was an Ernest Childs. And he will take, if Ambassador fails tomorrow, Jesus Christ, he's the leader of our movement. And he is God and he's sovereign. And I do think there are going to be some things take place in the years to come. Although I was told that by older men and they didn't come to, I'm glad they warned me. I do think we are living in the last of the last days. Hey, what better generation than to stand and say, you can talk smack all you want and you can defy my God, but he's going to deliver you in our hands. I want to encourage you. You need David's courage, but you're not going to get it if you're disobedient. And you know your own wicked heart if you tend to be a rebel. I mean, every time you're set, someone tells you something in class or dorm devotion, you just, listen, ask God's Spirit to stop that. Help, teach me, Lord, to be obedient, and then humble yourself. And that's an everyday thing. Now, I'm glad I'm here. For 17 years, I've had help. Dr. Childs has purposely been helping me humble myself. I say that tongue in cheek, but I'm glad for the people I work with. I'm glad to be around you guys. And I'm not there yet. And David, as he stood, and I have no idea what it looked like. I'm so glad for the Bible's description. But one of the first songs that I ever heard as a little boy was the song you guys heard about little David. You know why it's important to teach children the songs before they even really understand the principles of Scripture? Because they won't forget the song. And I remember David, you know, David's song. I still remember it. And I'm glad they taught it to me, but I'm so glad that I had a chance to share this with you. I didn't want a whole nother generation, a whole nother four-year group of young people to think that, yeah, boy, that Ron Comfort, he has slain some big giants. I said, if Dr. Comfort were here, he'd tell you that everyone, including himself and myself, Brother Bill, and all of the men and women on the staff and faculty, don't you ever look up to us. You know what I found? When you look up to men, Goliaths are a whole lot bigger. Look to Christ. Be obedient, be humble, and when that Goliath comes, just trust in God and say, I can't do it. God will deliver you, Goliath, into my hand. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the time I've had to share this on my heart. Lord, you're still working on me. And Father, you know that I fear. My faith is weak, but you're not. Bless my brothers and sisters today. Some of them are facing right now Goliaths that maybe to myself they seem small, but Lord, they're awfully big to them. May they trust you. May they have the courage of David. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.